Psalm 18. Psalm 18, we're going to this evening consider, though, those words that begin at verse 46. Psalm 18 and verse 46. And the scripture says, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. It is God that avengeth me, and subdueth the people under me. He delivereth me from mine enemies. Yea, thou liftest me up above those that rise up against me. Thou hast delivered me from the violent man. Therefore will I give thanks unto thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto thy name. Great deliverance giveth he to his king, and showeth mercy to his anointed, to David, and to his seed forevermore." Amen. May the Lord add his own blessing to this reading of his word for his name's sake. This evening we're going to take the phrase that begins verse 46 as our text and our title, "The Lord liveth." The Lord liveth. Before we consider anything further though, let's turn our hearts to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to bless us and to open our hearts and to speak to us from this His Word. Our Father and our God, again we bow before Thee in Jesus' name. And again we would ask, O our God, that Thou wouldst be merciful to us for Jesus' sake, and that Thou wouldst come and allow the glory of Thy presence to be discerned by Thy people, that Thou wouldst send forth the Spirit of God to do that rich work within our souls that causes us to be able to hear, to heed, and to hold the truth of God. We pray, O Lord, that Thou wilt bless us for Jesus' sake. We pray that Thou wilt encourage us in our Savior. We pray that Thou wilt lead us up the pathway, as it were, with Him. And, O God, may we be able to sit for just but a short time at the Savior's feet and behold again that truth about Him that causes our souls to be able to rest and to be joyful. Lord, bless us then. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt bless me. I pray that Thou wilt help me. I pray that Thou wilt allow the Spirit of God to be my leader and helper and guide. And I pray that Thou wilt direct all thoughts and words. And we pray it in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. The Lord liveth. It is suggested that this phrase occurs 37 times in the Old Testament, and its usage is almost always as an oath denoting that which is of all things in creation most certain. If you were in the Old Testament days and you wanted to say something is absolute in its certainty, it is unshakable, it is most certain in its likelihood to happen, then often this would be a phrase that would be used. It is used when Boaz was speaking about redeeming Ruth and Naomi and the properties that were associated with them. In Ruth chapter 3 and verse 13, it says, actually these are the words of Ruth, I'm sorry, it was Ruth speaking of Boaz. She says, "Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well. let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then I will do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. My first assumption was correct. It was Boaz speaking, not Naomi. I saw a note here and got myself turned around. It was Boaz. I was right the first time. I should always go with my first inclinations. Boaz said that. What was he saying to Ruth? As sure as a matter can be, my part will be to act as redeemer for you. And I will seal it with this. It is as sure as the Lord's living. Saul made a comment in chapter 14, verse 39 of 1 Samuel. For he says, for as the Lord liveth, which saveth Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. That was Saul's unbending judgment upon the man that had taken the honey. That man who had brought victory to Israel. You think of all the foolish things. A man would take to himself the Lord's name and assign it to something so foolish as that. Well, the point that we're trying to make here is it was just a statement of certainty. Saul was saying, this is as certain as the Lord's living. In Jeremiah, you have this also presented. It says in Jeremiah 23 and verse 7, therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that they shall no more say, the Lord liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. There was the Lord allowing the people to see that their sureness, their surety was at an end. But still, the context the same. The Lord liveth, a statement of utter security and surety. Perhaps you'll remember when Elijah and Elisha were walking together and it had been revealed that Elijah would be taken up and Elisha left behind. And Elijah was turning to his student, as it were, saying to him, go back now, for the Lord is going to take me along with himself. And Elisha says what? As the Lord liveth, I will not leave thee. There is nothing more certain than this. And I say, for us, in our minds, in our own hearts and lives, there is but one thing that is needing to be established for us to have security of heart and mind, and that is that God is. The Lord liveth. When I was living in Georgia, I was introduced to a man who used to begin every sermon the same way. His name was Bob McCurry, and he always used to say this, God is, and all is well. God is, and all is well. There is a bedrock truth. There is an absolute resting place for the people of God. David is here mentioning throughout Psalm 18 his numerous battles with the enemy. He is talking about the attacks on his soul and his life. He is talking about the viciousness of the attacks of those that are against him. And yet over and again he is presenting how the Lord is that one who will deliver. The Lord will come to his aid. The Lord will be merciful to him. The Lord will undertake. In fact, he even gets to the end of it all in verse 50, and he says, I have known that the Lord will continue to show mercy to his anointed and to his seed forever. He comes back to the absolute covenantal promise of God that the Lord would raise up a man to sit upon the throne of David forever. And he says, I am as sure of God's deliverance as I am sure of God's covenant. And the basis for it is that I know my God is. I know my God liveth. This evening, I am taking a very simple tact through this. And when I say I'll be done in 10 minutes, that is no unlikelihood. But I want us to see this. Why does everybody smile when I say that? I'm going to surprise you tonight. My proposition to you is this. The simple thought, the singular thought, that our God liveth is to be to us as the people of God the elementary basis of all our hope. Everything that we hope for, everything that we rest our souls on is tied up with this. Our God liveth. And may I put it to you this way? It is even more particular than just saying the person of the triune God. But we would also say that one upon whom all our hopes rest, that one in whose work we are ultimately relying, He indeed liveth, and there we find ourselves content. Paul refers to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 14, where he says it in the negative sense, but establishing the same truth. He says in the negative, and if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. That's the negative way of saying things. What's the positive way of saying things? Because Jesus lives, then our preaching is not vain, and our hope is not vain. It is not an empty thing. It is alive. It is a vital thing. The faith that we have as the people of God is a real thing. Why? Because Jesus lives and is at the right hand of God. And we put it this way, Christ lives and so does our hope. I want us to look at this short phrase, and I want us to see that it speaks to us of three particular things. Number one, the fact that God lives shows us that with our God is constancy. With our God is constancy. In this phrase is the statement to our heart that the Lord is ever to be found the same. You know, this is a truth that you and I find hard to grasp and really believe. And I think right now that as I just said that, you're finding it hard to believe what I just said. Oh, no, I don't. I find it very easy to believe that God is always the same. No, you don't. Why? Why is it hard for the people of God, of all people, those who come to the Word, those that trust in Christ, those whose hope is the blood, how is it that we find ourselves so beset with doubts about the changelessness, the immutability, easy for me to say, immutability of our God? Well, I think one reason is that we change ourselves. You know, it's very difficult for you to think out of the realm of your own existence. It's very difficult for you to think that people will ever act toward you as or differently than you act toward them. You know why people are suspicious? You know the reason for being suspicious is because you suspect that somebody's going to act toward you the way that you would probably act toward them. And you suspect that they're going to do that. Because you don't trust them, because you don't trust you. Did that make sense? The thought made sense, whether the words did or not. We change. We are utterly, totally changeful. You know, it is kind of funny that it is said that that women are those that are fickle. Women only show, perhaps more easily, what is going on in all of us. For fickleness, changefulness, whimsy, notionalism, that's the state of man generally. Men may hide it under a sense of bravado or a sense of confidence, but it's the same for all. That's how we are. We're changeful. Almost every false view of religion also presents a changeable God. You think about that. God is this way at one time, but He can be changed. Only true Bible Christianity presents a God that does not change. In fact, the employment of most of false religion is, how can we change God? Can we do something? Can we go through some ritual? Can we appease Him by offering something? How can we change God? Only Bible Christianity, where our faith is in the living One, is it that we have an unchanging God. In fact, I believe all of us have suffered from this thought, or at least we let our minds go down this road. The thought is that God can be angry at one moment, forgiving at another. God is pleased at one moment, and He is completely disgusted at the other. That God is at peace with us one moment, and He is utterly frustrated with us at the other. You say, oh, brother, we don't really believe that. Oh, yes, you do. And I think that probably you would admit that the vast majority of your problems in your heart and life is one of two things is going on. Either you have a wrong understanding of the person of your God, or you have a wrong and exalted opinion and view of yourself. We are prone to be those who think that our God is a changeful God. David here, and in the verses that follow our text, looks at the Lord, and then he looks at the face of his enemies. And he concludes that the enemies will be vanquished because he sees in the face of the Lord that which he has always seen. How do I know that which stands against me shall be vanquished? Because I always see the face of my God the same. He is a God of mercy. He is a God of compassion. He is a God that loveth to forgive iniquity. He is a God that loves to put away that which is a blight against the soul. He is that God that loves to subdue darkness and sow light. He is that one who is ever the same. I look at the face of my God and I see again afresh for my soul who He is. And then I look at my enemies and say, you don't have a chance. As I was thinking of this message this evening, I was in my chair. I always tend to have my mind drift along in one particular direction, and that is, I wonder what it would have been like, or I wonder what I would have seen had I been a disciple. I always like to imagine that. I know you're not, you know, you shouldn't try to imagine the Lord, but I don't mind imagining Peter, or James, or John, or perhaps how they reacted. And I wondered this as I was sitting there. Did the disciples see in the face of Christ the same love and same concern at all times? Or did they witness in Christ sometimes He had that love and other times He showed His frustration with them and He showed His aggravation with them? And you know what? We take those phrases such as the Lord spoke there in the boat, O ye of little faith. And we tend to think, see, that proves then that the Lord had a different mindset and a different reaction. He was frustrated with them. He was disgusted by their unbelief and He rebukes them. See? He's changeful. No, do you know why I think Christ said, O ye of little faith? It's because He was loving those men so much. Let me come and touch you at the point of your need. Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, Thomas. And I'm going to start repeating some who have the same name twice and say the same person twice, so I'm going to stop there. I was with you. But I want to tell you that you've had little faith. And why am I telling you that you have little faith? Because this is your problem. Understand that I am with you, that I love you. I will not ever let you go to the bottom. I'll never let you see the waves overflowing you. There's never going to be one wave, whether you call that wave the wave of sin, the wave of death, the wave of fear. They're not going to overflow you. They're not going to overcome you because I love you. I submit to you that the disciples knew one countenance in the person of Jesus Christ, and only one. He was ever the same. And they, of all people, could say, Jesus Christ the same. Yesterday, today, forever. As we saw Him yesterday, so we see Him today, so we'll see Him tomorrow. The gladness, the love, the concern, the compassion, the help that we saw in the face of Christ yesterday, we have seen it also today. And when we get to glory, you know what we're going to see? The same face. And so those who know Christ can say, He, as you look here at the end of verse 46, the Lord liveth, He's ever the same, and blessed be my rock. He is a rock. He is always the same. And you and I ought to rejoice that we do not deal with a God who is in the state of fluctuation. If God were changing, then what would that suggest to us? Change is either digression or it is progression. You're either getting more, better, fuller, or you're getting weaker, less. That's not our God. He cannot become more than He is. He cannot be better than He is. He cannot be fuller than He is. He cannot be more glorious than He is. He is all those things in infinite measure. He can't be different. He cannot be less than He is. He cannot be made to diminish. When David says, the Lord liveth, he is speaking of a constancy that he finds in his God. My God, my Savior does not change. Therefore, as I look at Him, and then I look at that which stands against me, what do I say? Well, we sang it tonight. If God be for us, who can be against us? The great rock of my hope is that the Lord is always there when I come to Him, and He will always be the same. Second, I say in this statement, there is the truth that with our God is certainty. Constancy, now certainty. There is a firm confidence that God is not only the same every time I come to Him, but it is certain, first, that He is always doing what He says. He is always doing what He says. The Lord lives, and He is always doing what He says. Again, perhaps I would show my unbelief in this, but I would wonder, I think, if I were Peter and James and John, as I saw the Lord oftentimes being presented with a new case, a new need, a new person of great affliction or need, will He do the same as He did before? That is unbelief. Will He do the same as He did before? What does faith say? We know He will do the same as He did before. I think that was the very thing that the Lord Jesus saw when those four men climbed to the top of the roof with their friend and pulled up the tiles. He saw these men have a confidence that I will do what I have done before. There's a sameness, there's a certainty there that He will act in that way. Perhaps also when you have the woman who comes with her comes before the Lord, and she begs for mercy for her demoniac daughter. And the disciples say, Lord, do you know that this woman is a Syrophoenician? We ought not to have anything to do with her. She's a Gentile. The Lord allows there to be a small lesson in faith, saying, don't you know that it's not meet to take the bread from the children and to throw it to the dogs? And then, of course, she comes back with that wonderful statement. Yes, Lord, that is true. But even the dogs eat the crumbs from under the table. The Lord says, thy faith hath brought you the victory. As your faith is, be it done unto you. Go away, your daughter is healed. What was the confidence of the woman? Jesus is always the same. And He is not only the same in His person, but He is always the same in what He does. Child of God, when you come to the Lord Jesus tonight, when you come to the Lord in prayer tonight, do you have a confidence that you will find Him always doing what He always has been doing? Again, David describes Him as a rock. You ever heard the statement about somebody? The man's a rock. Well, what are you saying? That man is dependable? That the man is unshakable? That the man is reliable? That there's a certainty about the man? Under whatever circumstances you find him, he is going to be the same. He is always going to do the same. He is going to do what is right. That is Christ. He is a rock. The Lord liveth. A statement of certainty. And also I would suggest to you that here it says that he's not always doing what he says, but he is always accomplishing what he has purposed. The Lord will be successful in what he has purposed. The Lord liveth. For God to live is for God to rule. For God to rule is for the people of God to know the benefit of that. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? God has spoken. God has revealed himself. God has set forth truth and light. Will not then he be of a certainty to bring about what he has purposed? Yes. What has he purposed toward you? Do you ever think about these things? What has God purposed about you? You say, of course I think about those. Well, let me tell you what you think more of. What I would like to have for myself, what I would like to purpose for me. Not so much what God has purposed, but what I have purposed. The Lord has purposed for you a couple of things, child of God, and you ought to just stop and just say, hallelujah. He has purposed, yes, life. And for that, we ought to be thankful and grateful. But the Lord has purposed utterly certain righteousness. A righteousness that comes to you through the justifying power of God. You are made as righteous as Christ. The Lord has purposed that. That's going to be something that is absolutely certain. But here's the point I was trying to make in Sunday school this morning. Sanctification. You know, you and I believe in justification. We can rest in justification. But when it comes to the matter of sanctification, that we will have victory over sin and be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, you and I are filled with doubts. Oh, I don't know about that part. Because I know me, and I'm so this, and I'm so that. But God has purpose. God has purpose that you would be conformed to the image of His Son. God has purposed that you would be freed from the weight of that which was the curse. And what we were saying today, earlier, He that hath begun that good work in you, that work of what? Making you to be most certainly righteous. Conformed to the image of Christ, that one that shall be presented in that day without spot or wrinkle. That is the divine purpose of God. How sure is that? as sure as the Lord liveth. How certain is it that you are going to be rid of sin? As certain as the Lord liveth. What is the Lord doing to my sin? He's put it on the cross. And I hope every one of you remembers. I don't know, there may be some of you that are gone before I am. But I hope there's somebody around to remember that I do want that verse sung twice at my funeral. No matter, and if you hear somebody making my funeral out, trying to order my funeral, and that is not on the docket, or that is not what's to be done, then I want you to stand up in the service and stop the thing and say, wait! We have to sing the third verse, It Is Well, twice at least in this time. Because that is all the hope of the man in the casket. The Lord has taken our sin. He has purposed it, that it would be nailed to the cross, that those who sleep in Christ would bear it no more forever. And I don't know, I am speculating in entirety, but I believe that when you and I breathe out our last physical breath, and the Spirit leaves this old body with our very first spiritual breath, we'll be singing what was at the end of that phrase. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! O my soul! For I am now free from my sin in entirety. It's with me no more forever. And I say, I think you and I wonder what it's going to be like. You know, here I am at the gate. You know, the things that people say, the things that people get in their minds. St. Peter is going to be at the gate, and we're going to come up, and he's going to, who are you? Well, I think this. Peter's never going to be able to find out because he's not going to be able to hear me because of all the singing that I'm doing. All the praising that's coming, because I'm now free. In fact, I think that's it. I think that Peter will say, if you're not singing, you're not coming in. Whoever thought that Peter would have the key to the game? Oh, anyway. Certainty. As the Lord liveth, there is a certainty. There is a constancy. But I think also you have David presenting here last that with our God is safety. How can he look at all these enemies and be calm? You know, David, elsewhere in the midst of a time that you and I would call a turmoil, it says in Psalm 3 and verse 5 that it says, I laid me down and slept, and I awake, for the Lord sustained me. He was able to lay down and sleep. How can a man sleep when he's got all these enemies against him? Because the Lord lives. I am in the hand of the Lord. I am in the hand of the Lord, and the Savior has pronounced with a divine edict, no man shall be able to pluck them from my Father's hand. Nobody is going to move me out from the hand of my God. He lives, and His grip is sure. And I am safe. Oh, child of God, a simple thing, a simple concept. And may I say this night, when we go to our beds and we lay our heads on our pillows, may that simple thought that preacher from Georgia that I used to know said, may our minds remember God is. and all is well. God is, and all is well. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts this evening for Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, again this night, we pray that Thou will bless Thy word to our hearts. Lord, we pray that Thou will cause us to be a people whose minds are taken from themselves, whose attention is drawn away from themselves, drawn away from the preoccupation with trying to make self better. Lord, may we be those whose glory is all the Lord. May our hope, may our rest, may our confidence be that God is, and all is well. Lord, bless us then as Thy people. May our confidence be in our God. Go with us, we pray, in the days that lie ahead, and we pray that Thou wilt undertake for us, that Thou wilt help us, that Thou wilt guard us and keep us, for Jesus' sake. And we ask it all in His name. Amen. Thank you.